All right, John chapter 15. This is going to be part two of the message from last week. Last week was Connect to the Spirit. This week is Connect to the Spirit part two, which I guess I'm still in the series Connect to the Gospel. So try to figure that out. So I'm confusing myself. So basically the whole emphasis was that to connect to the gospel. That's what I've been preaching since basically the beginning of the year, that to connect to the gospel, we have to connect to the Spirit. Because we saw last week in John 16 that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our teacher. He reveals Jesus to us. Remember, he teaches us the truth. So we have to connect to the Spirit of truth. We have to connect to the Spirit, who's our teacher, who's our helper, to connect to the gospel. See, we'll never see Jesus. We'll never see the glory of the gospel and have a revelation of the gospel unless we connect to the Spirit. So John chapter 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter... Now, I'm reading out of the Amplified, okay? And there's a parenthesis here with a bunch of words. Those are basically synonyms of the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. So it says, but when the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. The Spirit of truth, who comes, who proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me. The Spirit will testify regarding Jesus. Now flip over to John chapter 16. Flip over to 16 and verse 14. And I'm just going to read the first part to start off with. John 16, 14. Jesus is still speaking here. And he says, he will honor and glorify me. So my 3 points for the sermon, for the message today. Point number one is that the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. The Spirit's role in the Trinity is to bring all the focus and all the attention to Jesus. Jesus said, he will testify about me. He will testify about me. Then he says in John 16, 14, he honors and glorifies me. See, Jesus came to honor and glorify the Father, but the Spirit came to honor and glorify the Son. Do you see how the roles? Now, it's all one God. One God, three entities in one. They each have a distinct role. Jesus came to bring honor to the Father. The Spirit came to bring honor to the Son. Preaching on the Spirit this morning. We need the Spirit of God, don't we?
Yes.
How do you know if a church is really Spirit-filled? I want to be a Spirit-filled church. I want to be a Spirit-led church. How do you know if a church is really, truly filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit? How do you know? Because it's a church that seeks the power of the Spirit to always honor and glorify Jesus. Amen. The Spirit honors Jesus. The Spirit wants to make sure that everything that takes place is going straight to Jesus. It's going straight to Jesus. And that's how you know if a church is really, truly Spirit-filled. It's a church. We want to be filled with the Spirit. Powered by the Spirit, but in a way that brings the attention to Jesus Christ. Just because a church labels itself Spirit-filled, just because a church speaks in tongues, doesn't mean it's really Spirit-filled. Because if a church, now listen to me now, if a church exalts the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit above Jesus, above the work of the cross, above the free gift of grace, if it exalts the gifts over the giver of the gifts, then it's all just a show. And I don't want to be a church that's all about the show, because when the Spirit shows up, Jesus is glorified. Our motto is knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Here's a quick lesson on the gifts of the Spirit. This isn't a teaching on the gifts and the manifestations and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this is just a quick little lesson. The gifts of the Spirit, if you read in 1 Corinthians 13, or 12 through 14, they're given to edify the church and to point people to Jesus. That's it. They're not given to draw attention to ourselves. They're given to glorify Jesus, to edify, to build each other up. A person who's filled with the Spirit of God is not going to be a self-serving, look at me type of person. If you're really filled with the Spirit, you're going to be a person that don't have to showcase all your gifts. You don't have to try to impress other people with what the Lord's blessed you with. If you're filled with the Spirit, you don't have to. If you're really filled with the Spirit, you don't have to be elevated to a position of power. You don't have to be seen. You don't have to be standing on this stage. If you're really filled with the Spirit of God, you don't have to be validated in front of others for your accomplishments, for what you can do. See, a person who's filled with the Spirit, here's how you spot a person who's filled with the Spirit. Yeah, there's an empowerment on their life. There's a boldness on their life. But ultimately, it's a person who will say, I must decrease so that Jesus can increase. I want Jesus to be honored and glorified. I don't want glory in my preaching. I don't want glory in my teaching, glory in my singing, glory in anything. If I glory, I glory in the cross of Jesus. I want to be filled so that I can bring glory and honor to the Lamb of God. That's good preaching right there. That's what that is. I don't know. That's what that is. When you become filled with the Spirit, it means you've become emptied of yourself, where Jesus gets the glory, where Jesus gets the honor and the praise. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 says this. This isn't really the whole gist of my message, but I guess the Spirit of God drops things into me that I feel like I need to speak. And maybe this is for somebody in here. Because I'm a steward of the church. I'm a steward. I have to give an account to the church. And I just want you to know that this is going to be a church that glorifies and honors Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 13, 1, Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and if I don't have love, it's basically all just a gong, a noisy gong, a clanging, crashing. In other words, I've got the gift of tongues, and if I'm speaking in tongues just for a show, or if I'm speaking in tongues just to try to glorify myself, or if I'm operating in a gift of the Spirit and it's not out of love for other people, it's not out of love for God. Basically, Paul's saying it's just like a that's what he hears. It's just a gong, crashing symbol. It's, in other words, it's just annoying. And it ain't legit. Some of you older people, or people older than me or my age, or remember the 70s and 80s. How about that? Remember the 70s and 80s. You remember the gong show? See, you acknowledge you're old. Look at you. How many of you don't remember the gong show? Yeah, 20-something, 30-something, 15, 16. See. You're at the borderline. You're right at the borderline. You're right. But the gong show, the gong show was our American Idol, wasn't it? It was our, but that a good show. I like that show because you had the judges and they had this massive gong there. And the point of the show is you're going to come, you're going to try to showcase your talent, but you got to get through you got to perform your act without the judges hitting the gong. Gong! If they gong you, that means you stink. That means you're out, you know. Right? That's what it was. And so you're up there, and there was a lot of bad performers. That's the fun part. That's like the only part of the American Idol that I liked was the tryout part, you know, with the, remember that? I don't care about the ends and all that. But the people would get up there, they'd do their thing, the crowd would start booing. That's back when it was okay to boo. Yeah. I like booing. I know it's not politically correct, but boo, and they would boo, and the judge would be, should I gong them? Should I gong? Boo, bong. And then they'd pull you off the stage. But what that's what I think of when I read 1 Corinthians 13:1, because I can just see the spirit-filled Christian trying to do their gifts, and they're in front of the crowd trying to impress God, trying to impress others with their gifting. And I can just picture the angels, boo. And Jesus is like, look, I died for you. I love you. I care about you. But what you're doing is not for me. Gone. Next. See, Jesus is saying, I'm looking for people who will glorify me. I'm looking for people who would bring all the focus and attention to me. And that's the role of the Spirit. He testifies of Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. You would be amazed at the people. You all just see this stuff, but you don't see the stuff throughout the week. And the weird emails and all that kind of stuff. I've had people come up to me, you know, it's like, man, kind of bragging about all their spiritual gifts. They're bragging about I've got the gift of prophecy, and God's got a word for you. He sent me to you. He's got a word for you. And, you know, it's like he's bragging and all. And I'm thinking, man, if you got to brag about your gifts, I don't think you got any gifts. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've even had some that I've had a few throughout the years in ministry try to pull this. They'll say, God, the Spirit sent me to your church. The Spirit sent me to your church to usher in the Holy Spirit. I've had that from multiple people. God sent me to bring in the Holy Spirit. I've had people accuse me of quenching the Spirit. You're quenching the Spirit. No, I'm quenching you. I'm quenching you. I'm sorry, but as a steward of the church, this stage is only reserved for people who want to give glory to Jesus. And you're not ushering in. Yeah, they'll say, God sent me to you. Well, it's probably because you wore out your welcome somewhere else. And you got another agenda. And the agenda you're trying to bring in is your own agenda. No! God is going to be glorified here. Are y'all okay if everything that's done at Community Church is just for the glory of Jesus? Are you okay? Do you approve of that? I can't let it happen. I can't let people bring in their own agenda. It's the agenda of the Lamb of God that's here. Now, I'm not saying, no, you're not welcome here. I'm not saying, we want you here. We want you here to receive Jesus, to receive the love of the Lord, to be a contributor, to assist the body, to love on each other, to keep the unity on behalf for the saints. That's what the church is all about. So the Spirit glorifies Jesus. I'm not quenching the Spirit. I want the outpouring of the Spirit. That's why I'm preaching this. But for the Spirit to move, all the focus has to be on Jesus. We have to rid ourselves of our agendas. We have to rid ourselves of us trying to get the glory, and we have to be submitted to Jesus Christ. Now here's the deal. On the opposite side of the spectrum, there are churches that they'll speak about, they want more of Jesus. They want Jesus to be glorified in their church, but yet they deny the work of the Spirit. You got that side too. You got one side where it's all about Spirit, gifts, this, that, and it's craziness. But then you got the other side where it's that they say they want Jesus, but yet they deny the work of the Spirit. They want to quench the work of the Spirit. See, you can't have more of Jesus and get more of a revelation of the gospel if you're not allowing the revealer of Jesus into your church. You have to have the Spirit of God welcome in your church if you want more of Jesus. If you want Jesus to be glorified. So we've got to seek the giver. We got to seek the Spirit in regards to testifying of Jesus Christ. We need to welcome the Holy Spirit. We need to welcome the Holy Spirit because we need Jesus. Jesus is the one that is to be glorified. If we ever lock out the Spirit of Jesus, we're in essence locking out the presence of Jesus. Because the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So the Spirit brings glory to Jesus. Well, that also means that if the Spirit glorifies Jesus and the Spirit is in us, then the Spirit helps us to glorify Jesus. The Spirit helps us to be a worshiper of Jesus. To glorify means to praise, to extol, to exalt, to worship, to revere, to honor, adore, elevate, and dignify. See, Jesus is worthy of all of that and so much more. He's worth more than words that we can speak. He's worth more than what we can think or what we can imagine. And it's that's why we need the Spirit of God to help us in our worship so that we can bring the glory and the honor to Jesus Christ. You see, it's the Spirit of God that compels us to be unashamed, to lift our hands in worship. It's the Spirit of God that compels us to be unashamed, to shout for joy when we worship the Lord, to be unashamed to bow before the Lord and kneel before Him. After all, when the Spirit gives us a revelation of Jesus and gives us a revelation of the gospel, I'm sorry, I can't help but want to give Jesus glory. And I can't help but want to lift my hands and worship the Lamb. I've got to praise Jesus when the Spirit reveals Him to me. That's why we need the Spirit. That's why we need the Spirit to show us Jesus. To show us everything He's done for us. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Now, this is the scene of heaven that's going to take place. And this speaks of all the nations of the earth one day being around the throne. And it says that they'll be saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." What I'm saying is, one of these days, you're going to be doing that. And so the Spirit is trying to give you a little unction right now, saying, go ahead, warm up. It's okay to worship the Worthy One right now. Saying with a loud voice. I'm wondering, are there any worshipers in here? Are there any people who are unashamed to honor and glorify the Lamb of God? The Lamb is worthy. The Lamb is worthy of our worship. The hands of Jesus were lifted up on Calvary. His hands were nailed to the cross, don't you think the least I can do in my worship is to lift my hands for Him and give Him praise and glory? How about we just lift our hands? Give the Lamb a wave offering. That's surrender right there. He's worthy. He's worthy. Jesus said, the true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. Meaning that we worship on the basis of the Word, that's truth. We worship on the basis of what He's done for us, that's truth. But we also worship by the leading, by the unction of the Spirit. Philippians 3, verse 3, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. It says, for we have already experienced heart circumcision. Now what that means is basically we've experienced a heart transformation. And we worship God in the power and freedom of the Holy Spirit. Not in laws. We're not worshiping God because we have to. Not in laws. Not in religious duties. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done. And not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. See, that's worship in spirit and truth. See, Paul, he says, I'm worshiping through the freedom of the Holy Spirit. I'm worshiping in spirit. Then he says, he's worshiping God because of his heart that's been transformed by the gospel. He's worshiping God as a response to what Jesus has done for him. See, that's worshiping in truth. We want to be worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. So the Holy Spirit, he glorifies Jesus. He leads us to glorify Jesus. And look at the rest of John 16, verse 14. It says, he will honor and glorify me. And then he says this, because he will take of, he will receive, he will draw upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. He's going to take of what belongs to me. He's going to transmit it to you. Verse 15 says, everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. All right, so the Spirit glorifies Jesus. Number two, the Spirit transmits to us the desires of Jesus. He transmits to us the desires of Jesus. What's Jesus' ultimate desire for you? What did Jesus ultimately come to earth to give you? He says it in John 10:10. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. See, I'm reading out of the Amplified today because I want you to get this. That he says he came to give you life, that you would have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's Jesus' desire for you. Think about this. I've come to give you life. This is my desire. God's life. John 1:4, it says this. In Him was life. You look it up, it's the same word, Zoe. So in Jesus was God's life. And then it says, and the life was the light of men. What does that mean? And his life was the light of men. I looked up the word light. And the word light. Now remember, life is Zoe. God's life. The God kind of life. The abundant, overflowing, everlasting, full life of God. The word light here is the Greek word phos. P-H-O-S. And this is so interesting in this context because it's not just referring to light, like a noun, light, light. It literally means, in this context, to light or to manifest. That's what light does. It manifests. To reveal. To impart. Stay with me. Here's how you need to think about this. In him was life, Zoe, God's kind of life. And his life was the light, the phos of men. Remember, light means to reveal, to manifest, to impart. So think of it this way. Pho, P-H-O, pho. That's the root word for photography. Photography. See, to have a photograph, you have to have light. So what is a photograph? A photograph is a manifestation of an image that was captured by light. The photograph reveals an image that only light can capture. So what this is saying, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It means that Jesus came bringing the life of God, and he brought this life so that he could reveal it and manifest and impart that life into man, into you. I mean, this has to sink in. Jesus came to reveal and to impart the manifested life of God into humanity. Wow! To think that God's life is dwelling in me. And who transmits this life to us? Who transmits it? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he will transmit it to you. Paul calls the Spirit, in Romans 8, chapter 2, he calls the Spirit of life. He says the Spirit of life, and that same Zoe has freed me from sin and death. Spirit of life has freed me from death. So why do we need to stay connected to the Spirit? Because we need to stay connected to the life of God. The more we're connected to the Spirit of God, the more of God's abundant, overflowing life flows through us. This means that when we stay connected to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, He keeps us living in the overflow. He keeps us living in the abundant life of Christ. He keeps us living. When we stay connected to the Spirit of life, He keeps us living in abundance, living in the life of God, living in blessing and favor, living in the joy and peace that only comes from God's life. I've got to stay connected to the Spirit of life. See, we're not just called to sit around and just wait for heaven. We're not just called to sit around and mope around and in the sweet by and by. Yeah, heaven's going to be great. It's going to be beyond our wildest dreams. But between now and then, there's a space there. And in that space, Jesus said, I want you to have life. I want you to have life in abundance and life to the fullest. Jesus wants us to live the abundant life. Jesus wants us to live life to the fullest, even while we're on earth. It's not God's desire, it's not Jesus' desire for us to live a hopeless life, for us to live a depressed life, barely getting along, barely surviving. You know, the woe is me. How am I going to make it? My world's caving in. My world's crashing in. That's not Jesus' desire for us. He desires that we walk in God's life, this life that's overflowing. It makes Jesus sad to see people living in despair and living in despondency. It makes him sad seeing people hate life. Seeing people wish, man, my life stinks. It can't get any worse. This is not God's desire. What's worse is to see Christians who are despondent of life. Do you know that Jesus came to give the abundant life to all of us. Not just for the select few. Not just for the ones, well, there's the happy people, so they're happy, so Jesus gave them life. Well, I'm not happy. No, the same life is in you. He's an equal opportunity life giver. What you do with that life is your responsibility. Amen. We all have the choice. Are we gonna walk in this life? Are we gonna walk in the fullness of the Lord and experience the abundant life? Or are we gonna be gloomy and despair and doomed? It's the choice. So you say, well, Ray, I'm not experiencing this life. I'm not experiencing this overflowing life. Things are tough. I can never get ahead. I can never make ends meet. I mean, everything. Why am I so alone? Why am I so despondent? Why am I so depressed? Why? Well, first off, I want you to understand that when I talk about the abundant life of God, I'm not just talking about an abundance of things. I'm not talking about that, because there are people who don't have a lot of stuff, but they're living the abundant life. So that's not what I'm talking about this morning. So why aren't I experiencing the abundant life of God? Okay, well, I'm going to answer your question with another question. Are you connected to the Spirit of life? Are you connected to the giver of life? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you living life God's way? We all have the same opportunity to walk in the abundance and the fullness of life, but the question is, have you connected to the giver of life? Have you connected to the Spirit of life? Because that's the starting point, is to surrender your life to God. Receive the Spirit. Ask to be filled with the Spirit of God. Get serious about following Jesus. You know, ultimately that's what it comes down to. Are you serious about following Jesus? That's it! Look, you know, if... Sometimes I want to just come to you for counsel. And I want to just sit down and just tell you about all the stuff going on in my world. You'd fall off the chair. you'd fall off the chair. What? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. All of a sudden you'd start to think, wow, I don't really have any problems if you hear about some of the problems in my world. I think a lot of people just think the pastors walk on air. Everything's no. You know why I'm living the abundant life? Doesn't mean I've got an absence of problems. It means I've just surrendered my life to God. I seek every day to be filled with the Spirit of God. I surrender my needs and my agenda to Him. That's how I'm still living in the fullness. That's how I'm still preaching the gospel. It's really not that hard. It's, are you connected to the Spirit of life? And that leads to my last point. My last point is this, and this is really what brings it all together. The Holy Spirit desires fellowship. He desires fellowship. Here's the reality. The reality is, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Zoe life in you. You have the same life in you that's in Jesus. The same life in you that's in me, that's in the Apostle Paul, that's in the disciples. The same, what you do with that life, like I said, is up to you. The more you're connected and surrendered to the Lord, the more that life will overflow through you. He desires fellowship. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. This is an interesting verse. It's a verse that's overlooked, but it really says a lot. Because the Apostle Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and then he says this, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He says the fellowship. Now we believe, as evangelicals, we believe that we pray to God through Jesus. We believe that. We pray to God. But the Apostle Paul said, you can fellowship with the Spirit. Isn't it the Holy Spirit that connects us to God? Isn't it the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray? So really, without the Holy Spirit, we really can't even connect to God. We really can't even pray. So here's the role of the Spirit in prayer. We pray to God through the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So he says that we can fellowship with the Spirit. I ask the Holy Spirit to show me God's Word. I ask the Holy Spirit to show me Jesus. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to pray. I ask, that's fellowship. That's fellowship, and that's communing with the Holy Spirit. Help me to pray. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, we don't even know how to pray as we ought to, but it's the Spirit. So I got a fellowship with the Spirit. The more I fellowship and commune with the Spirit, the more I live a life that honors and glorifies God. The more I live this abundant, overflowing life of God. The more I'm in fellowship with the Spirit, the more of a revelation of the grace of God I receive. I need the fellowship of the Spirit. If we neglect our fellowship with the Spirit, we're neglecting all these wondrous things that God has given to us. And my simple little response time is, have you been filled with the Spirit? Have you been filled with the Spirit of God? Because that's how you start your journey on fellowshipping with the Spirit. Have you been filled with the Spirit of God? Have you surrendered your life? This is beyond becoming a Christian. I'm talking about as a Christian. Have you surrendered your life to God? Have you humbled yourself? Have you repented before God and sought to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Because when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you'll get connected to Jesus. You'll get connected to Jesus. And I want to ask you to pray, if you would. Would you bow your heads, please? Just a simple little response. Just a simple little response. 1st off, I want to just give you the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. 1st off, this is your first step, is receiving Jesus as your Savior. And if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you've never asked Jesus to save you, the Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's a free gift. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been looking for answers and you realize, I need Jesus. I'm just going to lead you in a little prayer. This is a prayer of salvation. And if you mean it with your heart, you might have been coming to this church for 20 years, but you've never really surrendered your life to God. If you pray a simple prayer like this, say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you shed your blood for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to save me. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. If you pray that prayer, the Bible says you're born again. You're born again. You're born again. And here's the next prayer. This is a daily prayer. This is a daily prayer. And I want to ask you this, because we believe in the filling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you know, the reality is, you know, yes, we believe in laying on of hands. We believe on in anointing with oil. We know that the Apostle Paul said stir up the gift. That's the gift of the Spirit that's in you by the laying on of hands. That's in 1 Timothy. But the fact is, you can be filled and baptized in the Spirit right where you're at. You don't need a preacher to lay his hands on you. You can receive. You can receive. How are you filled with the Spirit? It's the same way of salvation. It's the same way of salvation by grace through faith. you receive by grace through faith. You believe, you receive, you ask Him to fill. And just while you're seated, because we're gonna have our communion in just a second. But as a show of hands, you say, Ray, I want to be filled with the Spirit, or I have been filled and I need to be refilled with the Spirit. Just slip up your hands. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You might have been filled in the past. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. With your hands lifted up, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And let's all just say this together. Now, you believe and receive. You believe and receive. Say, first off, we're going to start by emptying ourselves out. We're going to repent before the Lord. Because we all have things that we need to repent. And just start off by this saying, Lord, I ask your forgiveness. You want to be filled. I ask your forgiveness. I repent before you. I recognize that I'm a sinful person. Even though I'm saved, I still fail you. But I empty myself out before you. I surrender my life to you. And now I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. I believe I receive your filling. I want to be led by your Spirit. I want to stay connected to your Spirit. Fill me, God, so that I could bring the glory and the honor to Jesus.